The Lord. I want to thank each and every one of y'all for being here on this beautiful Sunday morning. If you do not have a Bible, amen, all the scriptures that will be used here this morning will be on the screens, amen. But because we are a Bible church, amen, it would be really good that you would go and purchase a nice Bible, amen. Purchase a nice Bible with a commentary, amen. If you need any help within purchasing a Bible, you can come and see me after the service, and I will try to get you into the best Bible that will fit you to where you're spiritually at, amen. Amen. Let's get into God's Word here this morning. I titled the message this morning, Relationship is Everything. And when I say relationship is everything, I mean a relationship with Jesus is everything. Too many times we can get caught up in a woman and think that relationship we got with her means everything to you. Amen. That man that you're so in love with, that relationship you're in just becomes so important that it means everything to you. Just to let you down. When I say relationship is everything, that is only when that relationship is with Jesus. Because He will never let you down. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll be there even when you make errors. His agape, unconditional love is there for you. His name is Jesus this day, amen. Relationship is everything. As we go to the word of the Lord here this morning, let's turn to the book of 2 Samuel chapter 5. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 12. Again, if you don't have a Bible, you can just look at the screens, whether to the left or to the right of you. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 12. And the word reads, "And David knew that the Lord had established him as king over Israel and had exalted his kingdom for the sake of his people, Israel." Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you, give you all the glory, and give you all the honor. We thank you for all that you have already done, for all that you're about to do this morning by the preaching of your gospel. I pray that hearts and minds be opened here this morning to what allows a man, a woman, and a youth member to have the victory. Have your way this morning. In your precious name we pray. And we all say in one accord, amen. Here in opening scripture, the word of the Lord reads that David knew that the Lord had established him king over Israel and had exalted his kingdom for the sake of his people, Israel. Here this morning, I know God has raised up my life. I know without a shadow of a doubt that God has raised me up not just for myself to have victory, not just for my family to have victory, but He has raised me up within this time for you. For you. Here, David knew that the Lord had raised him up. David knew that it was the Lord that was giving him favor and was making him victorious in all that he would do. My conviction here this morning knows that the victories that I've had within the last 18 years, I know these victories come from the Lord. I know that He has given my life a favor. But again, He not only gave my life favor for me, but for your sake. For you too to be able to hear the word of the Lord. And for the same thing that took place in my life when I came into the church brand new out of prison, I would hear the message, and the message would change my life. And the person the Lord would use would be my pastor, Pastor Herb Valero. And now 18 years later, the Lord has now raised me up for your sake, for you also to get the victory. That if the Lord could do it for me, He can do it for anybody. I know that the Lord has raised me up for you to answer the call of God upon your life. I put here, I am no different from you. But when the call of God came to me, I responded. I was willing to be humbled, changed by God. When my pastor would preach that very first message that I would hear in a church, I responded. I knew the message was for me, and I would respond at the altar when the altar call invitation would be given. I would respond. You might come from another church. You might have been raised up in another denomination for many years where maybe they don't make altar calls. Maybe you don't come up to the altar. It's kind of strange to you. But I want to let you know that it was at the altar where my life was changed. It was at the altar where I would be able to respond to the call of God through the preaching of the gospel. I would respond and things would start happening in my life. At the altars, I would believe that the stirring that would stir me all through the message as the message was being preached, I would believe that it was able to do what the message said the Lord was able to do. I believe one of the greatest problems of the church today is that there's truly not a belief in Jesus. It's religion. We show up to church, but we really don't enter the temple of God believing that He could really, really change our lives. Because of everything we've been through, everything that we're currently going through, I know that it's hard to believe and to fathom that your life can be changed by the Lord. Because I thought like that for the first year or two, that there was no way that the Lord would be able to change the person I was. But I testify and I'm a witness of 18 years later that the Lord did change my life. And if the Lord was able to change my life, I want to allow you to know that He's able to change your life this morning. No matter what you've been through, no matter what you're going through currently, God is able to change you. But you're going to have to respond to the stirring within your life as the preaching continues here this morning. The calling of God is one that calls a man or a woman or a youth to respond. In verse 20 of chapter 5, the Bible reads, did you get that in the other translation also, Chris, or you didn't? No? It's okay. I put it right there, but it's okay. Who's got a New Living Translation Bible on you? Hallelujah. You got it, Jamie? Sister, do you got one? New Living Translation. Here, let me see it. Verse 20. And the New Living Translation. Okay. You got it or not? I need it quick. Who's got it? You got it on the verse? You got it on the chapter already?
Yep. 520. See if that's work. It's English Standard Version.
I need the one I said. Okay. Here, let me see that. Okay. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 20. The Bible reads, so David went to Baal-perazim and defeated the Philistines there. The Lord did it. David exclaimed, he burst through my enemies like a raging flood. So he named that place Baal-perazim, which means the Lord who bursts through. Amen? The Lord who bursts through. But I like the point where it says that David knew. It says that the Lord did it. That the Lord did it. David went to Baal-perazim, and there he defeated them. He said, as the waters break out, the Lord has broken out against my enemy. Here David knew at this battle that the Lord had done it. That the Lord had done it. As great as a man as David was, he knew that the Lord had done it. He knew that the Lord had done it. I put here, David was able to see that the Lord had done it. David knew it was not so much him and the army, but it was the Lord that had done it. I put here, whenever you don't respond to the call of God by faith, whenever you do not respond to the call of God by faith, it's hard to see God in your life. When a man or a woman or a youth member does not respond to the call of God upon their life, it will be very hard for you to be able to see God for who He truly is. Too many people coming to church and not responding to the call of God, always struggling. And the reason for your struggle is that you can't see God in the struggling times. Here David knew the Lord had done it. Here David was able to see that it was the Lord that had won that battle for them. You see, now 18 years later, I'm able to see that it was the Lord's doing, working through my life. That I just had to continue to answer the call to step out by faith and to be obedient. I now can look back and see that it was the Lord fighting my battles for me. I should have never been able to be victorious over drug addiction. Drugs that had me in bondage year after year after year, 7 years in prisons. I should have never gotten the victory over drugs by themselves. I should have never gotten the victory over the opposite sex. That one should have never, ever have happened. But as I responded to the call of God upon my life, as I would come to the altars and never miss an altar call, God would start moving in my life and He would replace the opposite sex with His desires. As I would continue to respond by faith. You see, I myself knew that I couldn't get the victory in these areas. But as I responded to God and the calling upon my life, as I put Him first, the Lord would start taking care of areas in my life that I would have never had the victory in. Some of you are still in the same battle, under the same addiction, and it's been 10 years since you've been in church, and you still do not have the victory. I want to let you know why you don't have the victory. You're hearing the message, but you're not responding to the call of God upon your life. If you want the victory, you're going to have to respond to the call of God. And I'm going to be teaching here this morning in how to respond to the call of God, for you can have victory within your life. Just because you've shown up to church this morning don't mean the devil's going to say, ooh, he went to church, she went to church, ooh, I'm leaving them alone. It don't work like that. We're going to have to get to a place where we allow the Lord to fight our battles. And in order for that to take place, we got to be properly positioned. David knew well that the Lord had done it. David was able to see the Lord on the battlefield. You need to get to a place in your life where you're able to see the Lord in your battlefield. I'm going to teach here this morning in how to be able to see God as David was. I put here, whenever you step out by faith to do the call of God for your life, whenever you step out by faith to the call of God for your life, you will eventually learn how to see God. I'm going to be using real simple scriptures here that are very known to bring a revelation, a simple revelation here this morning that will give you victory in whatever crisis you're in this morning. But you're going to have to really be listening. You got to want it. You got to have a Bible, you got to have a paper, you got to have a pen, you got to be taking notes. Some of you think because you know enough Bible, you don't have to bring paper or a pen. You don't have to take notes no more. But yet there's a battle right now that's defeating you. It's not so much how much you know the Lord, it's what are you applying? Whenever you step out by faith to the call of God for your life, you will learn how to see Jesus. You will learn how to see Jesus even when the odds are all against you. Here within this battle, the odds, they were totally outnumbered. And David would be able to see God in the equation and say, God did this. God gave us the victory today. You see, that's what the Lord is looking for here this morning. He's looking to be acknowledged by you. But it's hard to acknowledge someone you can't see. That's why it's easier to go with that girl, with that guy, because you can see them. Jesus wants to get to a place where he can be seen and be acknowledged. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says that we walk by faith and not by sight. The NIV translates that we live by faith and not by sight. That we live by faith and not by sight. See, when we use that word live, it's walking it. It's a lifestyle. We walk it. We not just have a faith, but we have a faith. Amen. We live by faith. It's a lifestyle. We walk it. We not just know the word of the Lord, but we walk it. We live it. We're examples of it. That we live by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. So in other words, the way we see God is by faith. The way we will see God is by faith. Too many are trying to see God in the natural sight, and you're not going to ever see him. The way that we're able to see God is by faith. By stepping out, by responding to the call of God upon your life. By faith. The way we're able to see God is by faith, not by sight, not by our natural way of seeing. And too many times we come against the work of the enemy by what we see. By what we see. So how are we able to see Jesus? By faith. By faith. Here David was able to see the Lord had given the victory. So how are we going to be able to see God? I want to call it a faith relationship. We're going to have a faith relationship in order to see God moving in our lives, in order to see God in the battle, in the hard times, in order to be able to acknowledge God, we're going to have a faith relationship with Jesus. A faith relationship. So if it is faith that allows us to see God, we got to take it one step further back in how do we get faith? Because how many want to see God? How many want to see what God is doing in your life? How many want to see God in the midst when the enemy's attacking? We live by faith, not by sight. So we got to back up a little bit and say, okay, if faith is going to allow me eventually to be able to have a relationship and to answer the call and to be able to see Jesus, how do I get faith? I need faith then. Real simple scripture, Romans 10:17. We need faith. And that's why it's so important hearing what's being preached here this morning. Because it's going to bring you faith. The Bible reads, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. How does faith come? What message? Because there's a lot of messages right now that the enemy's giving right now as I'm preaching. There's a lot of messages being given right now Some of you are saying, man, I don't need to hear this, man. I'm okay, man. I can do this. I don't need to be able to see God to pay the bills. What message? And the message is heard through the word of Christ. So here, God's word is very important. It's like spiritual glasses that allow you to see who He is, that allows you to see who you are in Jesus. We need faith. And the Lord says that He's allotted each and every one of us a certain measure of faith. But I want to let you know that your faith can grow as you grow in your relationship with the Lord. We need faith. This is the way we'll be able to see God. This is the way that we're able to respond. It's by faith, stepping out faith. We need to have a stepping out faith. I had a great faith in the devil when I started stepping out just to smoke a little weed, drink a little bit here with the girls, here and there with the girls, and 24/7. I would step out a little bit more. Before you know it, I would only be with them on a Friday night. Amen. Sneak into the womb. Before you know it, it was 24/7 every day of the week. I would start exercising my faith in the devil. And then as I started to exercise my faith in the devil, I would learn to see everything He wanted me to see. Everything that He wanted from my life by exercising faith, by sneaking out on a Friday night, a Saturday, before you know it, it was all the time. Before you know it, I wasn't even sneaking out no more. I'll come back 2-3 days later. My mom and dad were so worried about me. And before you know it, from not knowing nothing of what the devil had to offer, before you know it, getting into bondage, I was able to see the plan He had for my life. And it started off good. A lot of money, selling big dope with the women and all. It started good. But because He's a liar and He's not capable of telling the truth, He never showed me the part of going to prison, living in the streets, eating out of trash cans, ODing, losing my family. Because all I could see was what He wanted for my life. To kill, steal, and destroy. How are you going to be able to conquer the enemy? You're going to have faith. You're going to have to exercise your faith. It's very crucial when we go through battles and we're going through times of confusion that we're able to see Jesus in it. See, what the enemy's wanting right now, he'll let you come to church. But whatever you're going through, that's all he wants you to see and think about. See, if you're thinking about it, you can see it. If you're thinking about it all the time, you can see it. You know, if I was to say for the directors, Felipe, all of a sudden, even if they're not looking at him, in their mind they're able to see Felipe. Amen. The enemy works through images in your mind. And as long as you see it over and over and it's something, that's how he's able to keep people in bondage. That's all you can think, so that's all you can see. And that, in other words, that's all you're going to do. So we need faith. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. So here this morning, there's a great power that the Word of God is able to unleash into your life right now. There's a great power. You may not be able to see it, but it's God's Word, and He cannot lie. There's great power going forth right now in what some of you may think not important. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. Remember, not just any message. And the message is heard through the Word of Christ. It's vital. If you want to be able to see Jesus in whatever you're going through, that you be in the Word of the Lord. Each and every one of us, not just the pastor, got to be reading their Word. Because this is where faith comes from. This is where faith comes from. It comes from hearing the message. Right now you're hearing the message.
When you read, you can hear the message of Christ. When you read the word of the Lord, it's very important that every one of us have a reading life in the Bible. And too many times we put work, the opposite sex, in priority, and once in a while we'll bring the Bible in on a Sunday morning. And now through the privilege of having scripture on the screen, some of you don't even bring your Bible no more. Pa' qué? They do all the work for me now. All the homework is done. Faith comes from hearing the message. The message is heard through the word of Christ. You need the word to see Jesus. And then a lot of people end up knowing the word, but they don't use faith. They don't step out and respond to what the Lord is asking for. I know a lot of people that really know the word, but they're not walking by faith. They're not living by faith. And because of that, they're not able to see Christ. They're not able to see Christ within the struggles that they're going through. See, David was able to see God. And not only was he able to see God, he was able to acknowledge that it was God that had done it. He was a warrior. He knew the odds. And here this morning, we need to know the odds that we're up against in not making it. And always being a defeated people. The power of God's word is that anyone can start reading it and have victory. Here God would tell Nathan in verse 6. Did we read 2 Samuel? Go to 2 Samuel 7, 4. And the Bible reads, that night the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, Nathan was a prophet, amen? Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. Are you the one to build me a house to dwell in? I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought the Israelites up out of Egypt to this day. To this day. I have been moving from place to place with a tent as my dwelling. Wherever I have moved with all the Israelites, did I ever say to any of their rulers whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Here, God would tell Nathan the prophet on what to tell David. In verse 6, the Bible reads in verse 6, I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought the Israelites up out of Egypt to this day. This is God speaking, amen. I have been moving from place to place with a tent as my dwelling. From place to place. Verse 7 goes on to say, wherever I have moved with all the Israelites, all the Israelites. It was not just the few that he was moving place to place with and leading, but with all of Israel. And I put a point here this morning that God desires to be a God that is able to move in us, through us, from place to place. That's God's desire here this morning, that He be able to move in us, through us, from place to place. The place to place is important, because there's a lot of churches where God moves in the people, through the people, but not from place to place. We as Victory Outreach, we go beyond the four walls. As we were flying back in the plane, I was so tired, I stayed up to 3 and put the alarm for 3:30. I know that sounds dumb. I was watching all this prison stuff. 30 minutes, and burn, burn, burn. So I says, man, I'm going to sleep on that plane. And I got put between, I had the center seat. I got put by a white sister, very attractive, about 30-year-old white sister. Then on this side of me was, I'm not gay, an attractive black brother, right? On this side, about 30 years old also. I'm in the middle, I put my neck thing on, and I am gone, because I had it in my mind, I'm going to sleep. And the sister says to me, is it okay that my purse is where your feet? I said, don't worry about it. Right? I was really saying, don't bother me, right? I'm going to sleep. I am messed up. Feel like I've been up a week doing heroin or something. And I'm saying, I'm going to get my sleep no matter what. So I'm asleep, and then she goes, excuse me. You know, sometimes the girls, because they're pretty, they think they can get away and have anything they want, right? So I said, what do you want? I was showing my ring, right? She says, I need something out of my purse. So I get her purse. I go, here, pretty girl, here's your pretty purse. I'm going to sleep. She says, I am so sorry. So I position myself. I'm in the middle of these two cats. And then they start flirting with one another. And I said, oh, my God. And I say, I would be doing the same thing if I was still in Egypt. So I said, I'm just going to have to put up with it, right? So they're talking, and I hear them giggling. I said, oh, my God, you want my seat? Give me the window. You can be next to him if you want. So I open my eyes, and she's like this, looking at me. She says, I feel bad talking to him with you in the middle, right? I said, hey, man, I'm cool, man. I can sleep with noise, right? I'm cool, man. So anyhow, they talk for a little bit, and she goes to work on her little laptop, and she's on her laptop. I am out. He would say a few lines. Well, I'm going to be in Las Vegas. We were at the second airport was in Las Vegas. And he says, yeah, I'm going to party with my friends. She goes, what do you do? He goes, oh, I'm an Army guy. What do you do? Well, I'm from New York, and I forget what she said she did, right? He says, yeah, I'm going to party, man. He says, I'm going to party. I said, oh, my God. He goes, what are you going to do? She goes, well, I'm going to visit my dad. Are you going to party with your dad? He was throwing little lines out there just in case she wanted to bite, right? I'm up on game, right? So I'm there in the middle, looking out of place, looking out of season and all that, right? I says, man, I know exactly where they're at, both of them. So they stopped flirting. It was a real light flirtation taking place. The brother was good. He was fishing real smart, right? So I gave him props for that. He didn't come on too strong, right? And then finally, the plane landed. I was out cold. So we get up, and somebody got stuck in the line. So we were there for a while in our seat, but we're already up. And I said, you know, both of you guys, I looked at the guy, right, the brother, and I said, hey, she would have flirted with me, but she saw my wedding band. She goes, I said, I was her first plan. It wasn't you. And she's there smiling and laughing and laughing. And he's there like blushing, right? I said, I was her first one until I went, bam. I'm a married man. I said, I was her first choice. It wasn't you, but you want seconds, that's on you. I said, you know what, guys? I've been where you guys done and 10 times over. And she said real nicely, what do you do? And I said, I'm a minister. And she went like this, he went like that. It was like God spoke through me, right? And I said, wow. It was like the Red Sea opened up. I'm all asleep, right? And I started ministering to them. I said, I was with a lot of you that looked just like you. I felt like saying something looked better, but I said, just like you. And I said, and I was just like you. I did all this part. I became a heroin addict in prison. They were like, man, like God was like. Then the black brother was just like this, man. He was like scared or something, like his dad walked up in the plane or something, right? And she says, you know, I'm really thankful you've shared these things with us, right? And I says, she says, I do yoga and I help people. I help inner city people in New York. Man, if you could only just be at New York, right? I says, no, I'm not in New York, but that's where our ministry started. Then I turned around. The black young dude looked like he's seen a ghost. And I'm not prophesying or being all evangelistic. I'm just giving it easy, right? Easy version of evangelism, 101. And he's like this. The guy can't even look at me. I said, look at me. He looked at me and I says, and you know you got a calling upon your life. The dude didn't know what to do. He was like this, right? He was a buff dude, man. Good looking buff dude, right? Youngster in the army. And he was like this. And I says, I bet all of your family serves the Lord, don't they? He says, how did you know that? It was like I had become his father that was ashamed of his life. And I'm saying the Lord loves you so much, he'll let you keep on partying. He's going to let you party. He's going to wait for you. But he's already knocking right now as I speak upon your heart. I seen that he was tripping. Like he took a hit of crack or something. Then all of a sudden, right before that, I seen the girl ride, and I said, she's giving him her number. The dude worked it good. I seen him at work, right? So I was just there asleep, and before that, he gave her her number, right? And the guy didn't say nothing. He just put in his pocket like, yeah, that's right, right? So I said, I hope y'all's plans work out. I messed up their high really bad, man. I was able to see the Lord in their lives just as at one time where I couldn't see the Lord. So they needed to hear it. Faith comes from hearing. And as I would start to minister, they would be able to see the Lord in my life. And even though I was using dope talk, the past life that I lived, they both had a Jesus encounter on that road. We hadn't even gotten off our seats yet. Because they were able to hear what Jesus did in my life. I've evangelized and spoken to a lot of people that are lost and bound. These looked like they had it all together. But the truth was, they didn't. And I looked at that black brother and I said, stop running from God, man. Don't do it for your family. Do it for God. Do it for God. And I believe there's some of you right now in the church running from God. You're running from God because you can't really see what He wants to do in and through your life. Faith does not only come by hearing, but hearing the message of Christ, the message of the cross, the price that was paid for your life to have victory here this morning. You ain't going to receive victory any other way. There's victories that come just for a season that you can get on your natural ability. But if you want an everlasting victory, if you want to be more than a conqueror here this day, you're going to have to get in God's Word. You're going to have to get in God's Word. Place to place. God desires to be a God that is able to move not only in us, not only through us, but from place to place. The Bible says, I put here, He does not want only to dwell in a permanent place, a building, 1204 South 61st Street, though it's a good thing that the Lord dwells here. But what He truly desires is a permanent place within our lives. What the Lord is desiring here this morning for each and one of His sons and daughters is a permanent place of residence in your life. You see, when the Lord is able to make His way in our lives and He's able to abide in us, He's able to go with us from place to place, wherever we're at. He's able to be with us. Just like He was with the Israelites from Egypt all the way to the Promised Land. From place to place. And back then He would move by a pillar of fire by night. That all the people had to do was see the pillar of fire move. And that was God saying, let's move from this place to the next place that I have for your life. And during the day, it was a pillar of cloud. And when the pillar of cloud would move, the people would move. That would be God moving. And He would want the people to move with Him from place to place. He don't want to be the God of only Sunday morning once a week. See, the majority here, the best you get is when you come to church on a Sunday morning. Because of the presence of the Lord that is here this morning as His Word is being preached. We always got desires, but God's got desires also. And His desires to abide in your life. His desires to make a change in your life. His desires that you don't remain defeated the rest of your life and be in church and call yourself a Christian. His desire is to abide in your life. His desires to be a living God, not a God of a building, but a living God that can go with you from place to place. He wants to be more than the God of 1204 South 61st Street for a couple of hours. He don't want to be the God of one day a week, one day out of the week. Especially when we made Satan our God of the 24/7 God. I don't know about you guys, but when I was serving Satan, I was serving Satan from place to place. From tweaking to tweaking, from here to there, from state to state, from prison to prison, from place to place. 24/7, 7 days a week. But what happens to the ex-gang member when he gets saved? The ex-prostitute that's here this morning. The ex-alcoholic that's here this morning. The ex-crack addict that's here this morning. The best you can give is one day out of the week. That's religion. That's tradition. And it kills. And it don't set nobody free. Now, I could see if you were in a church that that's all they do, but you're not in a church that does that. You're in a church right now that learns how to grow in the things of Jesus in a place where you're able to see God, feel God, know God, and move with Him from place to place. We get satisfied to be 1 week on a Sunday, 1 day out of the week, Sunday, to be with God because of the place called the church. He don't want to be a God of a permanent building once a week that he can't move. That he can't move. He wants to be able to move in your lives beyond these church doors. The movement of the Spirit of the Lord here this morning should get you to a place of wanting and desiring what you feel right now to go beyond the doors. At my altar calls, when I would make as a new convert knowing nothing, I would see that I would be broken at the altar, and then as I was second, I would get up. I was checking girls out, looking for a smoke and ready to go smoke a cigarette. And I would get to a place quickly where I would say, God, if you want me to serve you, I want what I get at the altar, the feelings I have at the altar in the presence of the residents of the temple of God in the church. Back then it was 155 Barton Road on the east side of Salinas. I said, God, what I experience at the altar, I want to be able to experience in my car. I want to be able to experience in my apartment. I want to be able to experience at my workplace. And I would start praying a prayer that I was not satisfied on getting high on the Most High on a Sunday morning, and it end there till next Sunday would come around again. But I would start asking, Lord, I want this presence, man, with me all the time. And I didn't know that I was quoting scripture and all this stuff. I wanted to get high in the Lord. I was a guy that loved to get high. I can't just get high a little bit. I'm a pig when it comes to getting high. A little bit don't cut it. Friday night got old. Saturday night got old. 24/7 got old. It wasn't able to fill the void in my life until the day I gave my life to the Lord. The church needs to awaken this morning that we serve a 24/7 God, a God that is alive, not dead. Yes, our building is nice, very nice, I put here in my notes. But you and I are still by far greater and where he wants to abide within us. As pretty as this building is, it can't become our permanent place of worship. We got to be able to be moving where we can go outside still worshiping the Lord. And even though this facility is beautiful, God's still saying, you're by far outweigh the beauty of this building. By far, I want to abide and live in a permanent address within you. So where you go, I go. And I'm going to give you the outcome of when having Jesus wherever you go, that he goes, or what is able to take place in your life. And not just having the Jesus of Sunday morning. Youth, you're listening to the preaching right now. If you can read, you got to start reading in your word. You got to know that we serve a living God and he wants to do something alive within your life, alive through your life. Not just coming to church and, you know, that ain't going to do nothing. We serve a living God. He wants to move this day. We serve a living God. And if you can move, do this. If you can do this, he wants to move in and through you. We serve a living God. He wants to move. A dead God of religion can be worshipped within a building, but cannot move. I know I have a living Jesus in my life. Verse 8 and 10. Verse 8 through 10. Now then, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture and from following the flock to be ruler of my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone. That's that place to place. Check this out. This is what happens when you're able to have Jesus from place to place. When you're able to have a living God abiding within your life. 9 says, I have been with you wherever you have gone. This is what happens when you got Jesus beyond here on Sunday. Amen? I'm looking for another point. I want to know if I missed it. Oh, it's still coming. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have cut off all your enemies. It's what happens when the Lord's with you from place to place. When you learn how to establish a relationship with the Lord, He'll cut off your enemies, the attack of the enemies, from before you. Your enemies are before you. Too many times we're looking back and in our past, but the enemy's before us, right here, Scripture says. That He'll cut off your enemies from before you. Now I will make your name great. How many have a good name? How many had a good name with mom and dad and the city and the system when you were up to no good? Now I will make your name great like the names of the greatest men of the earth. And I will provide a place for my people Israel and will plant them so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. Wicked people will not oppress them anymore as they did at the beginning. As they did at the beginning. Growth. I have been with you wherever you have gone. It represents relationship. I have cut off your enemies from before you. Represents protection, victory. I put here a daily relationship with the Lord cuts off your enemies. I put a little quote here, the one I was looking for. Because a lot of people just do Sunday with Jesus. They just do Sunday. I put here question. Simple thought. Who only has problems on Sunday? Now, if that's the case, well, just you only have to come to church on Sunday. A daily relationship with the Lord cuts off your enemies. And I know sometimes we can live that lifestyle for so long, we just get used to it. Of being oppressed by the attack of the enemy. In the same area, the same area. And Jesus is saying, I want to be with you from place to place. I don't just want to spend Sunday morning with you. I want to be with you wherever you go. I want to bring you protection. I want to bring you victory. I want to be your God. And not only do I want to bring you protection and bring you victory, I want to be with you because I want to use you and bring in that next man, that next woman, that next youth member that's being defeated because they can't see what Jesus wants for their lives. That young woman and young man beside me, I gave them revelation under 5 minutes where they walked out of that plane stuck. They thought it was happening what they were doing. They thought it was good. But it like they had seen a ghost. Could have made an altar call right there. But too many times we take the church of God, the presence of God for granted. Or we think to ourselves, nah, things are going to get better. Things are going to get better. That was a good message, but I ain't got time to read. I ain't got time to read. I ain't got time to spend with the Lord. Amen. Yeah, things are working okay by me just coming to church on Sunday. Amen. I still smoke and drink a little bit on the side, but I'm okay. I'm not a dope fiend no more. The Bible in verse 8 says, from a young shepherd to a great leader of Israel, king. How? Relationship. With the Israelites, it started in Egypt. Here with King, young King David, when he was just a young boy, he was a shepherd. And God would tell Nathan to tell to David that when he was in that little shepherd field, I was with him then, and I'm with you now. Go to verse 10. Last two lines, the wicked people will not oppress them anymore as they did at the beginning. Some of you here have been here for years and you're still at the beginning. You're still at the beginning. It's still the same devil, it's still the same tactic that is working in your life. Here the Lord is showing relationship from one place now at another place in your walk with the Lord. Too many people don't respond to the word of the Lord. Their faith ain't increased. So therefore, just because they can't see God don't mean he ain't important in your life. Relationship will take you from Egypt, the beginning, to the promises of God. Victory. I want to let you know what I preach here this day, that I walk and I know it works. It didn't just work for a year or 6 months for me. It's 18 and counting years now. I responded to the call of God when it came to my life. And I still respond even 18 years later to the call of God because I know he still wants to show me much more. And all I got to keep doing is acknowledging him and giving him all the glory and all the honor. And as Paul best said, it's just being a mere servant of God. A mere servant of God. When I seen that young girl and that young boy, like they seen a ghost, I says, man, I'm tired. But I had a living God within me. I had a living Jesus. The flesh is weak, but the spirit was willing to minister right then. And I just gave it not all I had. I just gave a little bit, and it blew their doors off. Learning how to fight in Jesus comes through prayer and word, people. Whenever you don't know how to fight spiritually, you will be fighting in the flesh. And all that can come forth from that is anger and all kinds of dumb stuff. When you remain fighting in the flesh, you will always remain in the beginning. When Jesus wants to take you from glory to glory, from place to place, he's got a great plan for your life, but you're going to have to respond when he gives instructions. As the worship team kindly please makes their way forward.